In our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. Know if I got this on, you satisfied and everything? My light's on. I'm going to read verse number 1, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And you pray for us this morning that the Lord would help and speak to our hearts. I really feel the needy this morning, that the Lord would help. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 1. Let's read that and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you, God, for all the blessings that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help today as only you can. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, to be anointed from on high. God, we just are living in days when we look, and sometimes we look around and we wonder what in the world is going on. And we see things we've never seen before, we've heard about, and we've heard that they'd come. But Lord, we're still amazed and astounded on so many points this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you would convict. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that's lost and in need of salvation, Lord, I pray you'd show them their great need. I pray, Lord, that you'd save them. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd help me. Lord, just give good liberty and freedom. I pray for that. I thank you for the good song service this morning before Sunday school. And God, we just rejoice in thy coming, Lord. We know that you've promised it in your word, and we see signs of it round about us every day. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'd help me. We ask it one more time in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, you pray for us this morning that the Lord would have his way. Let's read that verse one more time. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." The Lord spoke to me from this passage of Scripture. It's been now maybe 2.5-3 weeks ago. I was studying and doing my devotions in the morning, and I come across this, and I begin to look at it and study about it, and the Lord spoke to my heart and just gave me the thought, stop whining and get on with it. Stop whining and get on with it. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. And that's what the Lord was saying to Samuel concerning King Saul. You look at that one more time. That's what he said. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And most of you this morning know me, and you might agree, and some people would agree, that I guess I would classify myself as a concerned citizen. I'm not a politician by any means, but I have been accused from time to time of being political or saying things political. But if being patriotic and loving one's country and loving freedom and our blessings that we have, if that is being a politician, well, that wouldn't be wrong. That's not being a politician. That's being patriotic. Being patriotic, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is biblical to be patriotic and to love one's country. And if you don't believe that, you don't know much about the Bible. In the Bible, we find some of the most patriotic individuals that there ever has been. I think about Nehemiah and how that he loved his nation. And when he heard the news about Israel and the walls were still down and had not been rebuilt, the Bible says, "I sat down and wept
thereof because of the news that he heard that his nation was still in crumbles and nobody went back to build up the walls, and he was patriotic and he loved his country. That's the way we ought to be.
We ought to love our nation. We ought to be concerned over the direction that our nation is going in. And I realize this morning that I spend a lot of time thinking about and praying for our nation and the direction that we're going in. And so I was thinking about that when I was studying this passage of Scripture, and God showed me some things. And so that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. Stop whining and get on with it, or stop whining and get over it. And I pray God will show us some things that will help us this morning, not only as individuals, but families, and in your spirit and in your life and in your walk with the Lord. If you'll see some of these things this morning, it will help you, and I hope it'll help me this morning to stop whining and get on with it. Let's see, first of all, this morning, the context I want to show you of verse number one. The context of verse number one, to truly understand what is going on here in this passage of Scripture, we need to learn some information of what just happened in the Bible. What just happened, if we were to go back to chapter number 15, was the failure of King Saul to completely obey what God had told him to do. God had told him to do a certain thing. God told him to go down to Agag and to go to battle against him, who was the Amalekites, and to slay him and all the people and all the women and all the children and all the sheep and all the cattle and all the goats and all the mice, and I mean everything. God said, go down there and kill them all. And those of you that know from God's word what went on in chapter number 15, you will know that Saul disobeyed what God told him to do. Now let's just read a few verses to get the context here. Go back to chapter number 15 and look at verse number 3, what the Bible says. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 3. This is what God told Saul. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. That's what God told Saul to do. Now look on down at verse number 8 and 9. Saul went down there, but the Bible says in verse number 8, the Bible said, and he took Agag the king of the Amalekites alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. And so we see there that Saul did not completely obey God. Look on down in verse number 10, what the Bible says. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It." This is what God said now. He said, "It repenteth me." That means God was saying, "I am sorry that I set up Saul to be king." He said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." And the Bible says that it grieved Samuel there. We'll look at that a little bit more, but here we have to keep in context. You remember, Saul is the head of the nation of Israel. He is the head of the government. He is the king. He is the leader of the nation of Israel at this time. And those of you that know what happened here in the Bible, he's the people's choice. You remember the nation of Israel wanted to be like all the other nations. And they said, "We'll have a king to rule over us." And Samuel was against it at first, and he warned them what would happen if they had a king to come and rule over them. In fact, look back in chapter number 8. Now Samuel is the man of God, and he's been with the nation of Israel since he was a young boy. Those of you remember in 1 Samuel, Hannah, his mother, she prayed and asked for a son and said, "If God gives me a son, I'll give you back." And literally Samuel grew up in the house of the Lord, and he had heard the voice of God since he was a child. He was no newcomer to this. And the people, when you listen to the people, you're going to get in trouble. But though they would, nothing would do them but to have a king. They wanted to have a king and to be like the other nations. And in chapter 8 and verse number 18, the Bible said, this is what Samuel warned the nation of Israel. He said, "And ye shall cry out in that day, because your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations.'" And so you see what's happened here. Nothing would do them but to have a king. And so God gave them a king, and God gave them King Saul to be the king over the nation of Israel. That was the people's choice. That is what they wanted. They wouldn't have anything else. And so Samuel obeyed God in this matter, even though Samuel was against it. You need to understand this. Samuel was against it to begin with, but God said, "Go ahead and anoint King Saul to be king over the nation of Israel." So Samuel went and anointed him. God told him to do that. He did that. And so Samuel became intertwined with the ministry of King Saul. And from that point on, Samuel did his very best to continue to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. And he prayed for King Saul, and he was there for King Saul, and he counseled King Saul, and he did everything in his power to try to be a blessing to King Saul from that point on. And all that is in the context of what's going on in chapter number 16. Now, Samuel was patriotic, and he loved the nation of Israel. And he even came to the place in his life where he, I believe, loved King Saul. And since Samuel was opposed to this from the very beginning, you would think that he would be happy. What we find in chapter 15 in verse number 23, look over there. He was opposed from the beginning. And in chapter number 23, this is a familiar passage of scripture. Chapter 22, remember, God told Saul there, he said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." We've all heard that preached on before, and look what he said, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now you would think, if Samuel was against it from the beginning, that he'd be happy that God had rejected Saul. But he wasn't happy about it when it came down to it. But that's the context of what happened in chapter 16 in verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Now, there's the context. Let me show you the conflict. Samuel was anything but happy about what had happened. The Bible says here that God came to Samuel and said, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? How long are you going to mourn over the rejection of King Saul?" Look over in chapter 15 in verse number 11. I read this and I didn't read the very end of the verse. The Bible said that God said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." Notice what the Bible says. "And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Samuel was very upset over the rejection of Saul as king over the nation of Israel. The word mourn in chapter number 16 in verse 1, where the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" It's the same Hebrew word that you find back in chapter number 6. Look in 1 Samuel chapter number 6. I'm going to try to show you some principles this morning from God's word, if you'll just stick with me. Chapter number 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says this. This happened to the children of Israel. It said, "And he smote the men of Beth-Shemeth." Now, God judged these men. He smote the men of Beth-Shemeth because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people 50,000. thousand and three score and 10 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Now, can you imagine in a nation if in a matter of a day 50,000 Americans were to die at one time, over 50,000 Americans were to die at one time in one horrible consequence, that would cause the people of America to lament, to bewail, to mourn. How many here are old enough to remember what happened on 9/11? Now, I realize not everybody remembers. There's some children among us, but in recent history, that is the most horrific happening I can think of, where the whole nation mourned over something that had happened. I remember that morning. We were in Idaho at that time, and one of the men from the church called me and said, "Preacher, do you know what's going on?" And I said, "No, I have no idea. It was still morning out there. They're 2 hours behind." He said, "You need to turn on the television." And I remember we didn't even have television, but we had a little TV, and we brought it upstairs in the kitchen and had rabbit ears, and we turned it on and we could see black and white. And about the time we turned it on, the second plane flew into the second tower, and we realized, and I remember my heart being broke on that day and thinking, what in the world is happening to our nation? That's how the children of Israel felt. When the 50,000, when it says they lamented, that's what Samuel had went through when the Bible says that he cried all night long over this thing. He was tore up. He was crying. He was weeping. He was wailing over the rejection of King Saul. And I remember during the first Gulf War, I was still in the Air Force. And I had been in England, and I'd been there for 3 years and was being transferred back. But all the time when I was getting ready to go, the nation was preparing to go to war in Iraq. And I remember the turmoil of that time going through all that. That was right during the time that God was calling me to preach. In fact, I'd preached about 2 messages when we sat at Kim's mother's house. I remember sitting up there the night we bombed Baghdad, and you seen it on television, and all you could see, they was talking and commenting, and you could see the flashes of light over in the distance. And I remember the churches being opened up, and people would come to church and they'd pray and they'd cry for our nation because we were going to war. Now we've been at it for about 20 years and we're used to it. But once upon a time, it was a traumatic thing. People were bothered about our young people going over there and dying. And God called me to preach during that time period. It's been right now, this October will be 20 years ago when the Lord called me to preach. And all those things were going on. And I was singing about this. And I was singing about what Samuel was going through. And I was singing about my ministry. And I believe I can feel a little bit of what Samuel was feeling there over mourning over the nation and the troubles that it was going through. God knows my heart. I've cried for our nation. I've prayed for our nation. I've prayed for revival and looked for revival and preached on revival and all of those things. And look where we're at today. I was looking back this morning, and I hadn't even preached a year, and I preached a message on the subject of the prodigal nation from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation of people laden with iniquity. That's a long time ago. That's about 20 years ago. Our nation's been in trouble for a long time. That's what I'm getting at this morning. Our nation, the problems that we have didn't start just a couple of years ago. We have been in trouble for years and years. Prodigal nation, that's our nation. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. I remember I preached a message some years ago on the subject of America the Ugly out of Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 16, where Jeremiah said, "The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us, for we have sinned." That's where we are this morning as a nation. We are ugly in the sight of God. And where we once upon a time sat as a city upon a hill and shone as a light throughout all the world, we have rejected God and turned our back on God, and we are nowhere near what we used to be as a nation. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us, for we have sinned. I remember when Bill and Hillary were in the White House, and I preached a message on the legacy of the demonic duo, and I preached on Ahab and Jezebel and the legacy that they would leave behind. And I preached a message one time on why America is going to hell. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's where we're at. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I say that to say this morning, that I didn't just wake up a couple of years ago and say, you know, we need to preach some messages directed towards our nation. No, we've been in trouble for a long time. And these preachers older than me that's been preaching along the same lines, our nation has been going away from God and going away from God. So I can say this morning, I believe I can say this morning with some authority, that I believe I know how Samuel felt, not just over Saul, but it was over the nation, because the nation was wrapped up in Saul being the king. And now God has rejected the king, and Samuel does not know what's going to happen in the future. And so he's mourning over this. He's crying over this. He's lamenting over this. And let me say this morning that I don't think it would be news to anybody to say that our nation is in trouble and being destroyed from the inside. Politically, financially, spiritually, our nation is in trouble. It bothers me every day. Just this past week, I was reading a headline, and there was one of the generals, and Mr. Obama, you know, he's going to lift the ban. Now, Bill Clinton lifted the ban on homosexuals being in the military and said, don't ask, don't tell. And that caused an uproar. And I remember preaching about that. And my goodness, this morning, if we allow in our military and in our society what God hates, where does that put us in the sight of God? One of those generals said that he believed that most Marines did not want to be roomed with somebody who was openly homosexual. Well, duh. Who would? But a CNN poll said that 78% of Americans thought that it was all right. When I read that, I thought to myself, how could God revive a country when the great, great majority thinks that it's all right? What God says is an abomination in His sight. But I'm telling you this morning, that's where we're at. That's just one thing. Our debt is so high. Oh, if we could see our nation as it truly is this morning, what you would see is a gigantic, huge house of cards that the bottom's being knocked out from under, and it's swaying back and forth and back and forth. Our nation is nowhere near in a place where it could even begin to receive a revival from God. People don't even believe this is God's word. There's been times where God has supernaturally saved our nation, but it was a time where the overwhelming majority at least believed that there was a God and that He had given to us His Word. But people today spit on God's Word. God's Word means nothing to them. They're not even sure if we have God's Word. It might be the Quran. It might be the writings of Buddha. It might be some of this. God cannot revive a nation that will not accept that He sent His Son and His Word. And that's where we're at today. And so Samuel was in a great conflict over this. He mourned over this. I have mourned for 20 years now for this nation and the direction that she's headed in. And it's not getting any better. So there's a context, and there's a conflict, but let me tell you something else, there's a change. Now let me show you something this morning. Let me show you something about Samuel. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 20. I want to show you something very significant about this man Samuel. Say, well, what was Samuel anyway? Was he a high priest? No. He wasn't a high priest. But he was a special man. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse number 20, the Bible said, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. You know what Samuel was? Samuel was a prophet. And let me tell you something about prophets in the Bible. God doesn't send prophets in the Bible to tell everybody, hey, you're doing such a good job, I'm so proud of you. When God sends a prophet, it's because there's trouble in the land. When God sends a prophet among His people, He does that. It is always during times of trouble. And God sends a prophet to exhort and rebuke and challenge the people. And listen to me this morning, to challenge those who are in authority. Somebody said, I don't think preachers ought to say anything about the government or politics or their leaders. Where do you get that authority from? You gonna tell me this morning that God in heaven just intends for our leaders just to run roughshod over His people and just to go down the road and to never be opposed by anybody? Do you think Congress is gonna do it? Do you think the Supreme Court in this day and time is gonna do it? I'll tell you who God ordained in the past to do it, and who God is still ordained to do it, and that is His men, that is His prophets, that's somebody that'll stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, that's wrong. And God's not happy with it, and God's not pleased with it. And God sends a prophet along during troublesome times, and buddy, that's where we're at. This know also then the last days perilous times shall come. Let me give you some examples of that. When the children of Israel were in slavery down in Egypt and they were in the bondage under the bondage of Pharaoh, God raised up, God preserved a little baby boy who He drew out of the water, and his name was Moses. And Moses didn't think he was much, but God thought he was. And God gave him a rod, and God gave him a message. And God told little old Moses, He said, go down there and tell him to let my people go. Was it a good time in the nation? No, it was a bad time. And God sent Moses. I was saying about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is my most favorite prophet in all the Bible. And Jeremiah was with the children of Israel before the Babylonian captivity. He wrote the book of Lamentations. He sat on the hillside of Calvary and saw the nation destroyed. And that's where he penned down the word of God. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us, for we have sinned. And he saw the whole nation destroyed and carried away into Babylon. And all of these things, God put Jeremiah right there to see his people through one of the most horrific times they'd ever seen, any of them in all of their whole lives. They seen and witnessed a time where the nation was at the very top, and it was brought down to the very lowest of the low. Jeremiah was right there. Then we read over in the book of Revelation, we were talking this morning in the Sunday school class about the two witnesses and the 144,000. And God said about the two witnesses, my two witnesses which shall prophesy. They were prophets, they were men of God. And they are going to be put there to be a thorn in the flesh to the devil and his crowd. And there won't be anything that he can do about it. God sends prophets during times of trouble to help rebuke or to rebuke and challenge and exhort God's people and be there to direct them through the times of change. Now, false prophets are very easy to recognize. False prophets in the Bible, do you know what they do? They always pamper and pander to the king. And what it doesn't matter how evil the king, the false prophets will come along and the king will say, what do you think we ought to do? And the false prophets will say, oh, you're doing a good job, kingy king.
And I think when you go up to battle, boy, you'll just be like a bull and you'll just run over them with your horns and, oh, you're doing such a good job. That's how the false prophets are.
And we're living in a day and a time where people love the ministry of the false prophets. But God will always have one or two or a few that'll stand up and say, if it's right, even in the face of King David himself, will stand there and say, O King, thou art the man. And you have done wrong and you have sinned. And if you don't get your life and your heart right, God will judge you. That's a way to tell the difference between the false prophets and the true prophets. Now the Bible says that Samuel mourned for Saul. But God comes along, look here in his word, back in chapter number 16. God comes along and he says, let me tell you something, Samuel. I am done with Saul, but I'm not done. That ought to bless you this morning. I'm done with Saul, but I'm not done. He says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. He said, I'm done with Saul, but thank God I'm not done. Let me tell you something this morning. Our nation, as far as I know, is pretty much done. I don't hear anybody shouting, but you ought to be. Because the Lord won't come until all nations are done and they turn against His chosen, His anointed, which is Israel. And I tell you this morning from the bottom of my heart, I believe our nation is just about done for. We've turned our back on God and went down the wrong road. But let me tell you something this morning. I believe also He's given some prophets in these last days to see us and to help us through the change. Now, the next thing, the fourth thing I want to show to you is the challenge of the hour. Look what God said to Samuel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Look what God said to him. Fill thine horn with oil. I got to studying about that. I believe there's something in there. I believe there's something in there that would help us in these last days if we would apply it to our lives. Samuel had mourned and cried all night long. He was all tore up about the rejection of Saul, and his horn was empty of oil. And God told Samuel, fill thine horn with oil. We're running around mourning over our nation with empty horns. And what we ought to be doing, instead of pouting, we ought to be shouting. First of all, let me point out this morning what a horn is a type of in the Word of God. A horn in the Bible signifies power. It signifies authority. It signifies strength. The first time the word horn is mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 29. The Bible says this, the ox were wont to push with his horn. And it's talking over there about if you had a problem with an ox. And it was prone to push with its horn. That's what oxen, rams, any animal that has horns, that's what they use. One of the things they use those horns for, they use them for, signifies their strength, their power. How many of you men that hunts wants to kill a little Bambi this fall? But little old bitty, always got some nubs there. That's not what everybody's after. Everybody that, you know what I'm talking about. The one I've been waiting on for years and years and years, he wouldn't fit in the back of a pickup truck. You know, he's got some horns on him. An old granddaddy big buck, you know, that gets you on the front page of Outdoorsman or something like that. You know what I'm talking about. Horns, we know what a horn signifies, strength. It signifies power and authority. And oil in the Bible, look over in Isaiah chapter number 61. Keep your place there. Let me show you something in Isaiah chapter number 61. Isaiah chapter number 61 is what is called a messianic passage of Scripture. What that means is it is a direct reference to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about Him. When it says in Isaiah chapter 61 in verse number 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." When Jesus started His earthly ministry, I believe it's in Luke chapter number 4, He stood up and read from this passage of Scripture, and He was talking about His own ministry. But look what it goes on down and says in verse number 3. We'll read verse 2. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Look what the Bible says. "The oil of joy for mourning." The minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to take away the mourning, M-O-U-R-N, and give the oil of joy. Oil in the Bible is a type of joy. And then He says, "The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." And how many of you this morning, I'm going back to 1 Samuel chapter number 16, but you remember over there in Nehemiah chapter number 8, where the book of Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." See, Samuel not only lost, he lost his joy. He was mourning for Saul, who in the Bible is a type of the flesh. He's a type of the choice of the people, government by the flesh. And Samuel was mourning and crying over that, and he had lost his joy because Saul had passed off the scene and been rejected by God. But Samuel was sitting there, and he could not learn to rejoice that God wasn't done just because Samuel was. He said, "Take your horn of oil." That's get your joy back. That's where your strength is. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you lose your joy in this day and time, you're going to lose your strength. And you're going to spend all your time sitting around mourning over America and the plight that she's in, and you cannot stop pouting and start shouting over what God is doing. Because God's doing something. I like what the Bible says here. He said, "Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now I'm sure that you recognize this morning what that's talking about, King David. And King David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about going from a kingdom governed by the flesh to a kingdom governed by the Spirit. And it's a type of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much better than what we've got right now. That's what we as God's people have to look forward to. We ought to be shouting and not pouting. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 14, the Bible said, "And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice." It's talking about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming and the millennial reign. "When ye see this, your heart shall rejoice." Oh, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. Boy, I enjoyed the singing this morning. I did recognize the theme, Brother Dale. Everything they sang in the choir was about the Lord is coming. The King is coming. I like that one song. I guess the name of it's "The King is Coming," but it's all mixed up doctrinally. It's got the rapture and the second coming and all them things mixed up together in the whole song. But I just like the theme. The King is coming. Boy, we ought to be rejoicing in that this morning. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here in God's Word, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" And I was studying and thinking about these things, and God spoke to my heart and said, "How long are you going to mourn over what's going on? Look what I'm doing. I'm not done. We're changing. We're in the midst. We're in the middle, the beginning. We're very close to the changing of an administration and the global government that so many are looking for. They're going to be disappointed. I'm looking for global government too. But it's not in a conglomeration of nations. It's in a person who's riding on a white horse. And he's going to destroy all of his enemies, and his vesture shall be dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's who I'm looking for this morning. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, we ought to be rejoicing in it. We ought to not be pouting over these things. Everybody I talk to, pouting, pouting, pouting. Crying, crying, crying. Economy bad. Business bad, people hurting. I know. But it has to happen in order for the Lord Jesus to come. Are you ready for Him to come? Have you been saved? If the rapture happened tonight, would you be ready to go and to meet Him in the air? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.